Welcome back to your next favorite episode of the Into Greatness Podcast with Jason and Jolene. I'm Jason.
I'm Jolene.
And we're talking identity.
Yeah, we just identified ourselves.
We did, as who we are. Because if we hadn't, would you be able to tell who is Jason and who is Jolene?
Well, I don't know. That's the fact of being who or what a person or thing is.
Oh.
But the real identity of the Slim Shady is a complex and multifaceted concept that encompasses various aspects of their being. It involves a combination of one's unique personality traits, values, beliefs, experiences, emotions, and relationships.
You know, and it's interesting because we're pre-talking through these topics because we do that a bit. There's a lot of talk in society right now about identifying yourself. And it's funny because I think what is going on in society right now doesn't quite fit into that definition you just gave.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Right?
It's wanting to pigeonhole people into some instead of seeing them as a larger collective of things.
Exactly. Like they're fighting the whole gender identity.
Uh-huh.
That's really all they're fighting about.
Yeah.
That's it. Which is interesting. But yet it's such a hot button issue right now. It's a triggering issue for people.
Yeah. People want to be understood. I think it's a journey of being understood and being expressive in new ways. And when we don't have language for how to express that, just like feelings.
Yeah.
Once we learn there's more than happy, sad, angry, we're like, what? And then I think of that whole feelings color wheel, right? Yeah. Of like, you mean I have all these other ones to choose from?
I can choose all these, like purple?
I feel like this. So I feel like it's a little bit of that. Like we try and narrow in on something so much, but the closer we get, the bigger we see that issue being and the more options there are available. It becomes very confusing. It's interesting. And we're not going to spend a ton of time talking about that piece, but there are some highlights to that, right? Because personally, I have identical twins, identical female twins. And one of my girls has a short haircut, loves boy clothes. And since she was three, just naturally started choosing all those things. And trust me, these two were like, I'm fascinated with the nature versus nurture thing. So I tried to raise them with all the same variables.
Yeah.
Because I was so curious. At a DNA level, they are identical. Identical fingerprints, DNA, you name it, right? So it's so different to me how their characters are different, which Brittany has looked at their charts, and the 5 minutes apart that they were born actually made these big changes in their chart in terms of their self-expression. So that's interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah. And then when I look at this gender piece, it's interesting because my daughter will get misgendered all the time. People were like, Marsh, I didn't know that you had a brother. And he's like, that's my sister.
Yeah.
Like, dummy. Because to us, she's just Hazel. She's Hazel. She's never identified as a boy. She still considers herself a girl, but she very much looks like a boy. Like, she just easily would slide right into that category, right? And none of her friends care. Like, sometimes they'll ask, like, oh, are you a boy? And she's like, no, I'm a girl. My name's Hazel, right?
I just like the short hair and I like to wear these clothes.
Totally. And, yeah. But she's not bothered when she's misgendered. She used to get really excited about it because she really admires her brother. She really admires boys. And she just wanted to be like that, right? She wanted to look a certain way. And she's very particular about how she looks. She cares more about how she looks than anyone else in my house.
Interesting.
And it's very interesting. She has a particular way of how she sees and perceives herself and wants to be seen and perceived. So it's down to the right hat, her hair being the right way, the pants fitting a certain way. It's really interesting. And she's got the coolest personality. Coolest character, right?
Well, she's been here a few times when we recorded, right? And hangs out and draws pictures and stuff.
You get to see her. She is just a neat, like, big-hearted gal. So it's very interesting to me because back when I was a kid, I had a couple of mushroom cuts in my day, guys. A couple of them. My nickname from my dad was Son. S-O-N, Son.
Yeah.
I was a tomboy, but I also danced. I was very much a girl, but we would have just called that being a tomboy.
Exactly.
And now it's like the word tomboy and that general acceptance of like, oh, it's a tomboy, is like, now under a microscope of like, oh, does she think she's a boy? Like, people don't ask me that at all. But it was kind of a question initially of like, you know, like, should I say something? Do we ask her? No, we just, whatever, whenever she decides she wants to express something, fine, let us know. But otherwise, it's funny, I'm in the stores and my habit has always been like, hey ladies, let's go. And people look at me like I'm crazy because very clearly Hazel looks like a boy, right? People thought I had four kids because they knew I had twin girls. Mm-hmm. And then they would always see like Hazel with Marshall at the hockey rink with me and they thought I left a girl somewhere. And I was like, no, I have three kids, right?
That's it. Don't worry about
but
it.
But that's how obvious it is, right? But yeah, it's very interesting that now that becomes a question. No one ever thought of me being transgendered because I was named a son.
Nicknamed son. That's, yeah. I think that shows, fuck, like, is that even a step forward in my mind? Know. You know what I mean? That's where I get stuck on that. Because, yeah, I knew tomboys.
Yeah.
And then we even had a friend named Daryl that we called a tom girl.
Yeah.
But who fucking cares?
Right?
Like, what difference? But we've made it into an issue.
Yeah.
Now, and a real one that's dividing people crazily.
Yeah,
right?
And then in my practice, I work with people who are transgendered, and they've transitioned from male to female, female to male, and I just see them as the person that they are. Like, however fluid they are on that journey, I'm like, I'm working with who they are right now. And it's fascinating because I don't think, had I have not had that experience or been raising my daughter, I think I would have felt more black and white about it. But it is such a fluid experience that, like, I don't get stuck on any of those pieces. It just is like, this is who you are today.
Yeah, and that's where we should come at everybody from. Yes, yes. Which would make life so much easier if we would just do that. But society likes to pigeonhole.
We like, yeah.
We like to just make it easy for us to understand.
Yeah, and I don't even want to, like, negatively, like, give a negative connotation to that either. Because I think when we look at like validation and like really giving someone our time and attention, we want to make sure we understand them.
Yeah.
And if we can't find a word to understand them or they can't, you know, explain to us some of that, we can get hung up sometimes. Yeah. And that's often our own ego thing of like, I want to do more, know more, whatever that is, right? Instead of just like, oh, this is the way it is, right? Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a really interesting journey for me to self-reflect on through all of that, to witness other people on their journeys. And it's a topic that I continue to surprise myself in my lack of response or even like noticing most of it. It's really interesting. Whereas before I thought I would have had way more questions and like been more curious, even not judgmental at all, but more curious about things. And it's just so fluid and like non-eventful. It's very interesting. Yeah. It's an interesting thing, right? But I guess when you go into any of these pieces of like, you know, what is someone's identity? Like, we can meet people, like you can meet stars and you can meet like professional sports players and you can meet people who are like the Bill Gates of the world. And like, does that get intimidating? Does that leave us feeling like, oh my gosh, this person, this? Or can we just see them as like, oh, somebody who has another collection of identifying characteristics that's also walking this human life with us, right?
And I think in that case, because I've met some people who are like known and stuff like that, I think that's how they come across that will determine that, right? Yeah. If they come across thinking they're the king shit, we're going to react very differently than if they're just like, you know, you're in a lunch line and they come up beside you. And like, a friend of mine has met Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wow.
And so he was on set, one of Schwarzenegger's movies, doing a story on it. And he was eating lunch just at this table by himself, and someone's like, do you mind if I come and sit with you? Right? And it's Arnold, and he sat down, and they just talked like it was just regular people. But the fact is, Arnold is approachable. And I like to use him as an example, because he's someone I've admired, and he's admitted to his mistakes, and he comes across very genuine now.
Yeah.
And I like that. But that's probably why he gets along so well with people.
Totally.
And people like him.
Yeah, and I'm going to do what I did in our other episode. And then after he got up from the table, he was like, I'll be back.
I'll be back.
And he went to go get some milk.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yes, exactly that. I do think it's part of that. And that's also the piece that I look at with Hazel. And she just carries herself as is. Like, she doesn't have, I mean, I think internally there's some insecurities am I looking the way I want to look or whatever that be? Am I expressing myself the way I want to express myself? But she is just like this cool, fun character that, you know, just kind of goes out and hits the world. And I see that in transitioning journeys with some of the transgendered folks that I work with, and the ones who are more confident in this current version of themselves experience it very differently than the ones who almost, there's like more of the body dysmorphia, like less of the integration of it yet. There's way, it has so many more impacts on the way that they then are carrying themselves in public and then getting misgendered because they're staying too androgynous, or they're right, they're not fully stepping into that version the way they want to. And I think that is similar to any of us in our identity, right? And we talk about this so much here, is when you're being your authentic self.
Yes.
Right? And that can come from a gender place. It can come from a race place. It can come from so many different versions of us, right? Where are we able to be our full, authentic expression of ourselves? And I think that is the crux of identity aligned with character, perhaps.
Yep.
Right?
I think identity aligned with character, I think we put too much on the physical appearance part of that, I think. I grew up with a mother that was very how you present yourself to the world, right? And that's something I've struggled with, because I kind of, I don't know, I think that we're putting too much on that. It's like what you say with Hazel, like she's just kind of, this is how I am going to just come out there and here I am. And once I was sort of able to just be like, I don't need to look the best all the time. Like she's very much like, you got to look your best and you got to dress your best all the time. And I honestly don't give two shits about that. But it was unlearning that. Someone said to me, I was like the best dressed person at TRU when I was a student. I was kind of like, why would I though? Why do I feel the need to do that? And so like, that's why I've asked those questions.
I do think that dressing well, this is a bit of the fake it till you make it piece, is that it does create confidence in us.
It does.
And it creates a respect dynamic. And there is like that old traditional professionalism.
Yes. I was taught that. Yeah. Right? I know once I got out of the paper though.
Yeah.
And I did social work where I was dressing the same way that I would at the paper. And then one of the vocational counselors came and said, you know, if you want to connect better, dress more on that level kind of thing. So I really liked suddenly being able to wear jeans and just a fucking t-shirt to work.
Totally.
Which is more me.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's kind of that, in that sense, that's the only place where I've really kind of struggled identity-wise.
Yeah.
That way. And then when I just, the less I gave a shit, just how do I present not giving a shit? And it's like, well, if you don't give a shit, stop presenting like you give a shit.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
No, I agree. I'm back on my phone here looking up the definition again. A complex, multifaceted concept that encompasses various aspects of their beings. It involves a combination of one's unique personality traits, values, beliefs, experiences, emotions, and relationships. So it doesn't say gender in there, and it doesn't say identifying markers. So one of the things that comes up with me around my identity is I've been married before. So the last name I have now is not the last name I identified with growing up. And when I changed from Jolene Williams to Jolene Lindsay, there was this really bizarre, like, what? And then even looking at like, okay, do I drop that last name now? Well, I want my kids to be able to have the same last name as me right now. I don't feel like I have to go back to Williams, you know, to make a statement. Half of my professional life was Williams. Half of it was Lindsay. Like I'm really in this weird space of all of that. But it absolutely changed my identity.
For sure.
Absolutely. And actually, it's interesting because when we do the astrological charts and stuff, they always use your maiden name or the birth name born kind of thing. And, you know, I even think about when my ex went back in his birth records, he actually found out the name he was born with.
Was it different than the name that he grew up with? Really?
It was Seth.
Really?
Yeah. And we were like, whoa, crazy.
That is, right?
Right? Like you think about how your name can define so much of you. Like I have a pretty unique name, Jolene. Obviously people laugh about, you know, they sing the song, the Dolly song. There's all the songs, right? And I'm just like, yes, but I have done my amount of healing that no man that can be taken will be my man, right?
Right.
I will not take your man because if he can be taken, I don't want him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, but like, there's also like, you know, connotations of like what that name means, like, sorry for all the Karens out there or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, there's pieces like that, like, yes, those are parts of our identity. Big time.
Big time.
Right. And then when we go back to the roles episode, there are the things that we do, right? The combination of character and experiences and things like that, right? So obviously our roles and the things we identify with, right? We're podcast hosts now. We are influencers of a sort or two.
Which I hate that word, but
right? Like, yeah, we gonna push you to your greatness, right? We're Shaniquiners.
We're Shaniquiners.
We gonna influence your shit.
Yeah, your shit, motherfucker.
Right? So really looking at some of those pieces of like, yeah, what are some identifiers? I mean, where we live, where we work, like Canadian, we're Canadian, Jason.
We are.
That's huge when you go to like an international level, right?
Like, oh, huge.
You I don't feel like I have to walk around here waving a flag, but you better believe when I was in Italy and they thought I was American.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Holy shit. They treated me so differently. So differently. Yeah. The minute I was like, no, that's a Canadian passport. That might be ours. They were like, oh, why didn't you tell us?
And I was like, some wine.
Oh my God. Right? Like hostile they were. Right? So really interesting to look at those pieces, right? Again, I identify as a Caucasian, like European descent woman, right? Yeah. Like those are, that's a privilege, right? Gender-wise, not as much, but still, I'm a white woman in Canada. I've got probably more privilege with the exception of you, Jason, right?
Yeah.
Like, and being a white male.
I'm a white male and apparently the enemy.
Yeah. No, not always. But not always.
But you know
always,
what I mean? There's
right?
a period of time. But yeah, no, I am a white Canadian male.
Yeah. But I mean, you're not the enemy. You're a white Canadian male trying to be open-minded and part of healing a lot of the things that white males have done.
Exactly.
You're sitting here doing yoga. You can't tell me you're an asshole perpetuating old problems.
Old white man.
Totally. No. So no, you can't even throw yourself in that category.
Do not put yourself in that.
Damn it. You're not allowed to identify as the enemy. I used to work with a couple of nurses and they were like nice men. They were good men. They were good dads. They were good husbands. And they would always try and like pull the like player thing or whatever. And I was like, oh, would you fuck
Give
off? You are too nice to be assholes, guys. Like you're not fooling anybody, right? You're like the most like softest grandpa ever. And you know,
so then here's a question. Mm-hmm. Why then would they feel the need to project even that image? Even, you know what I mean? Unless they're being joking about it. But there are people that are nice people.
And they were joking.
But there are people who will try, even though they're not that person, they're trying to project that image. Yeah. The fuck are you doing that for?
Protection, right? Yeah. When we look at kids, when we look at bullies, they start to change their identity to protect them. And honestly, the biggest bullies out there are the most unhappy.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about the girl that bullied me that I ended up punching. Well, she lived in a fucking trailer court with a single mom and I'm sure hated her life in some aspects because of some of the shit that was going on.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, like, and that's what's something to be remembered, right?
For sure.
Like my son was, well, there's this kid in his class that was bullying everybody. So he's obviously got some shit going on.
Yeah.
But Griffin stood up to him.
Yeah.
And called him out on it.
Good for him.
Right? Which is good. And I'm proud of that. And there's a point, it was funny because we talked about it. My wife and I talked about it. And it was like, he's of that age where trying to explain the reasons why the bully's being a bully still wouldn't work. He's just emotionally caught up in this kid's being an asshole to me and I'm going to fucking push back. So we allowed him to celebrate that. As he gets older, then we'll bring in, okay, now this is why so-and-so's being this way.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't always cold cock him. But at this moment, it was at 12. Yeah. Okay. Good for you, buddy. You didn't take a shit.
And I think sometimes, too, we actually give people too many outs when we make excuses for their behavior.
Exactly.
When we try to understand, like, why they're being manipulative, why they might not be honest about things. Like, I know I did that for many, many years. I understand the wounds, therefore, I'm going to tolerate them better. Wait a sec.
No, so there is there's a line in the
sand.
It
is a delicate balance of, like, having compassion for the other person's situation, but then also recognizing that, like, that still doesn't mean I have to be okay with it. I can understand where it's coming from, but I don't have to be okay with it.
Yeah, like, you can forgive it, but don't forget it.
Yeah, for sure. And approach it a slightly different way if you know that it's coming from a wounded place or something. But yeah, that's an interesting concept. So when we look at identity, you know, and it's even funny when we look at like passports and driver's licenses and all these things that like want to nail down details of our identity. Hey,
yo, it's everywhere.
Yeah. It's fascinating, right? That's like the simplified version of it. But when you look at like, how do you identify? You know, we add things, you know, this is almost like a character and a role mashup of like, I can identify as a mother now, right? You know, I'm a daughter, I'm a partner, I'm a sister, all the things, right? I'm an asshole sometimes, right?
Depending on the day.
Yeah, totally, mood, right? Totally, right? So really, I'm... I'm
a billet mom.
He was saying, he was like, we were playing Yahtzee the other night and he was snapping somebody and he's like, I don't know, FaceTiming somebody. And he was like, listen to me with my lingo, snapping them. and he was like, oh, I'm just playing Yahtzee with my billet mom. I'm like, can you not call me that?
billet son.
It was so funny. I was like, it's okay.
You don't need to go there.
So funny, just to make it clear, right? Yeah, but I mean, that is another role or identifier too, right? But really looking at some of those pieces. And then, like, which ones do you hang on to, right? Like, yeah. Which ones are we throwing up as, like, our first point of reference, right?
It's yeah. tough because I'm like the same. I'm a husband, father, son, ghost hunter, podcaster, filmmaker. Like, there's lots. And actually, when I've done counseling
yep.
with Alicia, Healing Journey, I found it best. Like, it depends where I'm at what time. I can't yes. just say, if someone comes up and says, you know, what's the most important role in your life? I'm like, I can't tell you that.
No.
I can't.
I love that.
Because sometimes it's being a father.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's being, you know, husband. Sometimes it's being a son. Sometimes it's being a friend. It's not, I can't put three things as my top priorities because they're all kind of important to me. And I don't identify myself as any one particular thing all the time.
I love that. It's like, that would be like saying, you know, what's the most important part of your vehicle?
Okay. Couldn't tell you, man.
Is it the motor? Okay. Motor's great. But if there's no vessel for it to sit in, if yep. there's no fuel, if there's no tires, every single thing requires all the other pieces.
Yes.
For the most
all
part.
Of it, every component of my life is almost of equal importance, depending yeah. on the time of day, what I'm doing.
And they all require each other.
They all require each other. Right? I can't function without one of them.
Yeah. I mean, you could learn to adjust too.
Yeah, and you
but...
do, as people do in life due to yep. like circumstances. So yeah. And I think... Like we were talking about, like I've talked about this before, like when my father died and it crushed my mom,
mm-hmm.
like it crushed her and she never recovered from it. And this is nothing against Jess, but when I've talked about this with Alicia, it's like, she's like, if something happened to Jess, it would be sad and tragic, but you would be able to move on because yeah. you don't fully attach yourself to that one role in your life.
Codependency.
There's no codependency there.
Yeah.
Right? And I think yeah. that's just the healthiest way to
approach things. And that was an old way, right? Yep. Women had to identify with the males in their life. They couldn't, often this is why many stayed in unhappy relationships, mm-hmm. because you couldn't even get a mortgage as a woman
no.
back in the day,
no,
right?
No, not at all, right?
Yeah, and you couldn't, like many weren't able to be single moms the way I can today, yeah. right? And be self-sustained and whatnot. So those are big pieces. There was like a forced codependency based on the way our economy was,
yeah.
right?
Really
was
and
the rights of women
and
things like that, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, being able to look at that and like there's, you're each so much more resource now that yeah, someone's not going to be destroyed if the other person is removed from the game.
Yeah.
And that means like you'll know how to cook a meal for yourself. Many men back then, if it was the other way around, like how well would your dad have taken care of himself?
When mom would go away, we ate scrambled eggs or we went to McDonald's.
Do you remember Hungry Men dinners?
Yes.
TV dinners.
Yes, we'd do the TV dinner thing
right?
too, right?
Yeah, and they had the potatoes and the Salisbury steak.
A little bit of apple cobbler
and the tiny dessert.
Yeah, which was
yeah,
great.
Yeah, they were my dad's favorite. There was like three main flavors. Salisbury steak was usually the favorite, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
like, but that was the thing. I remember when my parents had a fight and my dad actually like left in the truck and camper for a little while. And I remember in my mind... being like, okay, if they separate, who would I live with? And I knew I would be taken care of and happier with my mom. Mm-hmm. But I, in my mind as like a 7 or 8 year old was like, I have to
yep.
go live with dad. Cause he won't be able to take care of himself.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
That's
crazy. And then you look at where that belief and that intrinsic desire initially led me later in life
yeah.
to find people who can take care of themselves.
Oh, that's, we kind of,
right.
God, was it somewhere it said you end up, think in a way being with someone who's the closest to that.
It's an attachment disorder kind
yeah.
of, or attachment theory.
Which
is
I
that,
think it's changing more now.
Well, if we intentionally heal the attachment
yeah.
wounds with our primary caregivers, we won't repeat what's familiar.
Right.
And that
exactly.
would have been familiar for me. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, and there's pieces of our identity that we can really start to evolve from, right? Like we can leave parts of our identity in the past. Like mm-hmm. some people will do that as like cancer survivors or grief survivors and things like that. They're like, you know what? I just don't want to keep holding on to this part of my life. I need to evolve now. So I'll leave it there as like, it's like an old reference point, but it's not like an active hashtag
yep.
in my life, right?
Yep. And
yeah.
I've done that with a lot of things too.
Totally.
Right? That's why with certain people, like my friend Carl, who I've talked about before, he almost went back.
Yeah.
When stuff happened, right? But I,
yeah.
because of things happened, I don't want to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Those parts of my childhood were great. And revisiting them can almost ruin them sometimes,
yeah.
right? Because it's supposed to be in the past.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. And there's a lot of experiences, connections, all those things we defined identity as, That you will reference, but you don't hang on to them. Like your boxing stuff. Yeah. Like you don't currently do that. So you don't always identify as that. I'm the same way as a dancer. Like I spent 15, 16 years of my life doing it, but I don't identify as a dancer anymore.
No, it's been done.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah. And it's been done.
Even my, you know, my dirt biking years or this or that, they were periods of my life. I did that. I don't currently do that anymore.
And they all led to other things that have put you where you are now.
Yeah.
This could go on and on.
It could. So next week, we'll show up as new versions of ourselves.
How
right?
will we identify ourselves then?
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully Jason and Jolene still.
Yeah, that'd be kind of good. I think it'd be confusing. It's Ralph and Edna on the Integrated Podcast, right?
Oh, Ralph and Edna, yes. Join us next week. Oh, man. Edna.
I don't know where the fuck that came from.
That is amazing. Okay, that's it, guys.
Until then, I'm Jason.
I'm Edna.
Talk to you next week.